Bid you welcome in the Savior's name on this resurrection day to the house of God. We're here to rejoice in a risen Christ, and we're going to join together in our worship as we sing the hymn 97, One Day When Heaven Was Filled With His Praises, One Day When Sin Was As Black As Could Be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt amongst men, my example is he.
Jesus, save.
You may be seated. Our psalm for today, and we've been reading through the psalms since the beginning of the new millennium, since the year 2000, is the psalm 114. Just this little psalm. Let's hear God's word, and then we're going to seek the Lord in prayer. I'm very glad to have our brother Donald Fleming with us, and he will lead us to the throne of grace as soon as we read this psalm. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, Judah was his sanctuary, and Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back. The mountains skipped like rams, and the little hills like lambs. What ailed thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest, thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back? Ye mountains, that ye skipped like rams, and ye little hills like lambs, tremble thou earth at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing water, the flint into a fountain of waters. May the Lord be pleased to bless his word. Brother Donald, thank you.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Excuse me just for one moment. I just want to address our brothers and sisters from Ukraine. In Ukraine, they have a way of dealing with Easter Sunday morning, and it's very simple. Christos Vaskres. Christ is risen. And they will reply, Christ has risen indeed. I wanted them to make it feel as home as possible. So, brothers and sisters, thank you so much for the blessing that you have been. Mere words can't express how that Jacqueline and I feel, and our brothers and sisters from Ukraine, how that they feel this morning, just to be shown this great and wonderful love from Hebron Free Presbyterian Church. So thank you so much. Let's just pray. Father, as we come into thy holy presence this morning, we thank thee for Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love us, sinners, condemned, unclean. But Father, we thank him, that we thank thee that he took our sins and our sorrows, he made them his very own, how that he bore the burden to Calvary, where he suffered and where he died alone. Father, we thank thee this morning for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and how that death couldn't hold him. We praise thee, Father, that up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. And this morning, Father, we thank thee that in our Lord Jesus Christ we have a very unique Savior, one who has conquered death, one who has conquered the grave, and is alive forevermore. And Father, as we come to thee this morning and this day that's set aside in the Christian calendar, just to come and remember and to worship the one who lives forevermore. Father, we thank thee afresh for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank thee again for your help over these last few weeks in bringing our brothers and sisters into Poland, first of all, and now into Northern Ireland. Father, for all the work that has taken place over the last few weeks. And Father, for the fellowship here in Hebron. Father, we praise thee for Pastor Park. We thank thee for his wife and family, for this wonderful fellowship. Father, it's a great example of real Christian love in action. And Father, mere words can never express how that we feel. We can never thank them enough. But Father, we just want to say thank you to them. And we say thank you and we praise you for allowing this to even take place. Father, we pray for the other ones who are still caught in Poland through this bureaucracy. And Father, we ask that very soon, even this week, that they would be allowed their visas, they'll be allowed to travel. And Father, that they can come and they can meet up with the brothers and sisters here and with the fellowship here. And they can rejoice and worship the Lord Jesus Christ together. This morning, Father, we pray for the peace of Ukraine. We pray, Father, that this war will come to an end. We pray for Mr. Putin, Father, that you will save him, that you'll speak to his heart and, Father, convict him of his sin. And, Father, we ask this morning that you would save him. Father, we pray for this time together. We pray that you'll accept the worship of our hearts this morning. And, Father, especially as the pastor comes shortly to open thy word, we thank thee, Father, that thy word is forever settled in heaven, and how that it's a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. And, Father, as he would minister to us this morning, we pray, Father, that our hearts would be receptive. Help us not just to be hearers of thy word, but to be doers. But, Father, to take what we hear this morning and put it into practice for the exaltation of our Lord Jesus Christ and for thy glory. So, Father, be with us now. We ask, Father, that your presence will be real with us this morning, that we will know thy presence with us. And we promise to give thee all the praise, the glory, and the honor. And we ask it all in our Savior's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Just like to say to Brother Donald and his wife Jackie that we're very happy here in Hebron to accommodate the folks from Ukraine. Some of them have arrived, as you see, and there are many, many more still to come. And we're looking to the Lord to continue with this process. But Brother, we thank you for all that you do and have been doing for 20 years in the land of Ukraine. And we're glad that we're part of that ministry, and we want to encourage you and the folks all that we can. We want to give a very warm word of welcome to the Ukrainian folks. Some of our children are going to help with that welcome. So we'll ask those that are appointed to come up. I think Wesley got 14 of them. To say welcome in English takes 7 letters. To say welcome in Russian or Ukrainian takes 14 letters, as you will see. And we want to welcome the folks. Pastor Valentin, so good to have our brother. I see you now. If I call your name, you can stand up and we will say hello to you. This is Pastor Valentin and his... maybe what I'll do is I'll mention all their names, if I can pronounce them correctly, and then you can give them a welcome. His wife, Larissa. You see, they listen to me so well. And their family, Anita, Timothy, Veronica, and Roma, the children. And Brother Valera and his wife Valentina. And Brother Pavel and Valeria. And we have another family that's not part of the group in Ballymoney, but they're with us today worshiping. And this Ukrainian lady lives in Northern Ireland with her Northern Irish husband. And she had the opportunity of receiving her mother's from the same fellowship. And we want to welcome you and your little boy as well to the house of God today. Yeah. You don't need to clap for Anna, but Anna, we are indebted to her because Anna speaks their language. And we appreciate yourself and Katrina. You were invaluable yesterday on arrival to get the translation work, especially when we don't speak your language. These folks come from very near the Russian border, which means that they are Russian-speaking, as well as Ukrainian, I think. And so we bid you welcome. And the children are holding this up. I hope it's spelt correctly and that you understand it. And they haven't got the letters upside down. But you can hold the letters up, children. Hold them up as high as you can. Let's see. It's stretching up. Oh, well done. All right, does that spell welcome? Yeah, good, 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 good. Now, children, would you like to say it? Well, you can say it in English after two. You know the word welcome. 1, 2. You got to do a little bit better than that, okay? All right, after two, the word welcome. 1, 2. And then everybody can say it. 1, 2. Amen. Welcome in the Savior's precious name. Good to have you. You don't have to stand there all day, so you can. This is your moment. Thank you very much, children. Appreciate your willingness. Pastor Valentine, we'll get to know how to pronounce your surname in due course, but he's going to bring some greetings, and Anna's going to interpret for him. So if you'd like to come up to the pulpit, he can use this mic, and I think Anna has a mic. So, yeah, come up here. They've come just as they are. They arrived yesterday, so you can imagine them fleeing their homes. And, brother, good to have you. You're very welcome to Ballymoney, to Hebron. In the Lord's great name, we receive you. God bless you.
Хочу сердечно поблагодарить церковь вашу и вообще всех людей, кто участвовал в нашем сюда перелете, и за молитвы.
I would like to thank you all from the bottom of my heart for your prayers and for your help with getting us here.
Ну, нам очень приятно, то, что нас так встретили и в аэропорту, и здесь.
We are really touched by the warm welcome at the airport and here.
Ну, как бы не можно без слез сказать, потому что действительно, как бы, ну, ваши добрые сердца.
I'm sorry I can't help crying, but your hearts are so kind.
Поэтому спасибо вам большое. Пусть Бог благословит и воздаст вам во сто крат.
Thank you so much, and let the Lord bless you.
За ваше доброе сердце.
For your kindness, for your kind heart.
Мы, нас вообще выезжало 35 человек из, скажем, это наша церковь там Старого Салтова.
There were 35 people of us leaving Ukraine from our church. It's in Starosaltov village.
Да, и часть людей там еще осталась в Старосалтове.
And part of our church are still there.
Спасибо большое и благословение вам.
Thank you so much and blessings to you.
Спасибо.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother, and thank you, Anna. We're going to ask the families from Ukraine to sing now, so they're going to come up, I think, to hear, and they're going to sing a couple of songs. They might need to say what the song is about, Donald.
Сына Божия верую я.
українській мові також пісню, це молитва про Україну. Ми молимося і...
They're going to sing another song in Ukrainian, and it's called Prayer.
І ми... Нам приємно, що ми здесь.
They're so happy to be here.
Що многі там ще страдають.
But they are really worried about the people left behind who are suffering.
І наші родственники там є.
Our families are still there.
І там, де ми жили, туди невозможно сейчас заехать і оттуда виїхати.
And the place where we lived, it's completely cut off. You can't go there and you can't leave.
І ця пісня, вона якраз говорить: Боже, я молюсь за Україну.
And this song says, the words in the song says, Lord, I'm praying for Ukraine.
Ти спаси і сохрани нас.
Please save and keep Ukraine.
Моя молитва нехай ліне до тебе, наче фімія, і серце лине безупинно. Чудовий твій небесний край. Боже, я молю за Україну, Боже, молю тебе за людей, і прости, і спаси, і милі свою наяви. Боже, я знаю, що ти будеш з нами в храмі твоєму, і небесами радість і мир ти дарував, життя за людей віддав. Своєму слові живому ти для життя видіння дав, щоб люди всі молились тому, хто на хресті за них. Боже, я знаю, що ти будеш з нами в храмі своєму, і небесами радість і мир ти дарував, життя за людей віддав, книгу життя нас записав.
May be that those that are left behind in Ukraine have been able to listen in to the service, and they will have understanding in these songs today. I trust the Lord will bless what we've heard, even though we don't understand. We know they're worshiping the Lord and praising the dear Savior. Can I bid you welcome in the Lord's great name to the house of God again, and any that are visiting with us, and I see your sister Joy from Spain, always welcome. For Joy in many ways is coming home, and I know that Alejandro has been involved in helping with evacuees as well from Ukraine over in Spain, and drove out with food and so forth. There's a group of young people that come in there, and we're glad to see you as well, and other visitors. Eamon has a friend, Raymond. We've seen Raymond before, but all very welcome, and those that are listening in to us today on the internet. Now, of course, today is Easter, and our services are special as we rejoice in the death and the resurrection of Christ. And tonight's meeting is at 7:30 with the prayer time beforehand. And the choir will be singing. They'll be singing shortly. They'll be singing tonight, and the families from Ukraine will also sing this evening. Refreshments will be served after tonight's meeting, and everyone's welcome to stay for something to eat and a time of fellowship. Do remember the Easter Convention and the Martyrs tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. You're very welcome. Our moderator will be preaching the word, and the Greer brothers will be singing. Thursday night, well, we were going to have this as a welcome service, but it might be a regular prayer meeting unless Donald and Miracle takes place and the others are here. But if we have a good number of them, we'll have a special welcome service. And if that doesn't materialize, we'll do it when the majority are here. We want to have a special time to receive our folks from Ukraine. There's a committee meeting. There's a short committee meeting after the Thursday night meeting. The Saturday men's breakfast has been postponed until the autumn time, just to give us a little bit more space to plan properly for it. Saturday, I understand there's a climate conference at the Martyrs' Answers in Genesis from 10 o'clock until 2:30 p.m. Next Lord's Day, the prayer meeting is at 8 o'clock. It was just lovely this morning to be in the prayer meeting for a number of reasons. Some of our friends were there, and so we had those from Ukraine praying. We had an Irish accent, we had a Scottish accent, we had an Ulster Scots accent, and we had just the regular Northern Ireland accent as well. But there we were, meeting with the Lord. Prayer meeting at 8 o'clock, Sabbath school 10:30, Bible class 10:30. Mervyn is speaking on the atonement, its necessity and meaning. The worship service at 12 noon. Our brother, Mr. Donald Fleming, will be back again, and this time he'll be preaching. I'll be, God willing, at Bethel, Free Church in Enniskillen, at a special missionary service. In the afternoon, the annual Orange service will take place at 3:30, and Jonathan Story will be the preacher. Remember that service. And I'll be here, God willing, at 7 o'clock for the gospel meeting with the prayer time beforehand. It's the Randallstown Youth Rally at 9. I've been asked to speak at it, and Rebecca McCauley will be singing. I want to thank you for your tithes and your offerings to God's work. And do remember the Missionary Council envelopes in the school covenant today and next week is the Home Mission Outreach envelopes. Now, Aaron, you're sitting there. Aaron's had a very significant birthday. We only usually mention significant birthdays. And yesterday, he became officially an adult. When you get to 18, that's when you can vote. And that's when you're recognized officially as getting into that section of the community, adulthood. So, Aaron, we rejoice with you. And the Lord bless you. And I also want to say that Veronica is today, she is 11. We'll sing happy birthday to her later. But we're going to ask this very, very shy Ukrainian girl to stand up. It's her birthday today, and she's 11, and she's come to Northern Ireland to celebrate it. So, do continue to pray for the sick of the congregation, please. And remember the special meetings in Lisburn. There are leaflets about that on the way out on either table just as you leave. It's a special mission vision to revitalize our missionary work at home and abroad. And that's from the 9th to the 13th of May. Now we're going to ask our choir to come and sing just now. Looking forward to their ministry and song. Thank you. The Hebron Choir. Thank you.
blood that cost a life, that paid my way. Death, its price, when it flowed, dying from the cross, my sins were gone, my sins were gone.
Thank you to the choir for singing and reminding us that Jesus is alive. It's the great theme of today. May the Lord bless those messages and song. The choir will be singing again tonight. And we'll ask you to come a little bit earlier, maybe 10 to 7, if you'd like to enjoy community singing, congregational singing. We'll have a little time of worship beforehand. And at the last verse of this hymn, the group will go into the cry room and they'll be able to get a simultaneous translation of the message. But we're going to sing, "Lo, in the grave he lay. Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord." And then the great triumph, "Up from the grave he arose." To the Gospel of Luke in the chapter 24. For sake of time, I will not read the whole passage, but we will refer to other verses in the passage as the message is brought to you today. But reading from verse 13 of Luke chapter 24, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. And he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And we'll end the reading there, trusting that the Lord will bless it to us. That's a wee word of prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for this glorious day of resurrection. We rejoice in the living Savior who's with us right now in this meeting. We thank you that he came to die for us, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And we rejoice that he rose again the third day as he had said. And we're here not only every Lord's Day to proclaim this truth, but especially at Easter time to rejoice that Jesus Christ, the living Son of God, is alive and alive forevermore. And we pray that you will bless all that has gone before in this service, the songs that have been sung, the worship that has been given, prayer that has been offered, your word that has been read, and now the message as we bring it. Give us the help that we need, the power and ministry of the Holy Spirit sent down from above, in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll understand with the nature of Easter and also with the singing, the special singing and receiving of our friends from Ukraine, that the service is a little bit longer today, but we don't mind that at Easter time, and we just glory in Christ who is with us. I want to direct your attention to the words of verse 15, the latter part of the verse, as I preach on the near presence of Christ in days of great need. And maybe you've come to the church today, or you're listening in on the internet, and you've got a great need, and you've got a great burden. Well, here's what the scripture tells us, and I want this to be your experience today. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Christianity is founded upon the empty tomb. On the first day of the week, this resurrection day, we proclaim loudly and triumphantly that Jesus is alive. We serve a risen Savior. He's not on the cross. He's not in the tomb. But at the right hand of God today, a Prince and a Savior forever, our dearly beloved Lord Jesus Christ, the great heavenly High Priest, who ever lives to make intercession for us. He abides with his people on earth by his Spirit. He communes with us in his word every time we read it. He visits with us when we come together like this for worship. And he gives us the good presence of himself in gospel work. For he says, Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. And he's here today. He's in this service. We say, hallelujah, Jesus is alive. Death could not keep its prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord, and up from the grave he arose. Now, there's something I want you to know, especially about the presence of the living Savior. I want you to know this today. He comes very near to his beloved people in times of trouble, trial, and tribulation. And we have this beautiful and striking example of it in the experience of the two travelers on the road to Emmaus here in Luke chapter 24. One of them is named Cleopas, the other, his name is not given. And this was the very first day of Christ's resurrection. There were five recorded appearances of Christ on the first day. He came to Mary. She was the first to see the living Christ. We read about that this morning at the early time of prayer, when Mary, in the midst of her tears, was brought to see that the one before her was her beloved Savior. Mary, just one word he needed to speak, and she knew immediately, this is my Lord. And she said, Rabboni, which interpreted is Master. And then we have the appearance to the women returning from the sepulchre. The Lord made a second appearance, and it was to these women. And then we have a third appearance to Peter, Simon Peter, when he was alone. The fourth one we've read about, the two on the road to Emmaus. We're going to come back to this one. And then the fifth one in the evening of that first Lord's Day to 10 of the disciples. Thomas was not there. He had to wait a whole week until he could enter the blessing of the resurrection. But in the evening time, the Lord appeared for a fifth time to his people. I want to examine the fourth recorded appearance, which is the longest account of all the appearances, and it's full of instruction and application. And I want particularly to highlight this wonderful phrase in verse 15. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. This is an amazing declaration, which is true of all the Lord's people today, as it was true for the two travelers on the road to Emmaus centuries ago. And I'm thinking especially of burdened hearts in this meeting, weighed down with a load of care, troubled on every side, dear believers who are carrying immense burdens this very hour. Some of you we know about, and we think of health issues that you have, and others that can't be here today for the same reason. And not least our friends from Ukraine. We can hardly imagine what they must be going through today. What they've left behind in their homeland. What they're facing this very moment. Or what the future has in store for them. But be assured, each one that's going through the difficulty, be assured of the truth of our text. Jesus himself will draw near and he will go with you. I want you to notice, first of all, as we look at these two disciples, that we have their sad circumstances. We read in verse 14 that they talked together of all those things that had happened. And then in verse 17, as the Lord has joined them, he asked, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? Now, you've got to put yourself in the shoes of these men and try to understand where they are just now. Christ had been arrested 4 days ago in the garden. He was taken to the palace of the high priest, where he appeared there for a time. He was then dragged to Pontius Pilate, over to Herod, and back again to Pontius Pilate, where there is a prolonged debate between Christ and the people, or between Pontius Pilate and the people, about Christ, and where there is an unjust trial. He was sentenced to the awful death of crucifixion. And it's possible that these men, Cleopas and his friend, they watched their beloved Savior being pushed and shoved all the way to the brow of Golgotha, where he was nailed hand and foot and lifted up to die. 6 hours later, after suffering the most intense pain, he gave up the ghost, the Bible tells us. He was led into Joseph's tomb, and all hope seemed to have been lost. They walked with sad hearts, and the Lord knew this. He knew this for one, because he was God, and he knew all things. But he also was aware of the sorrow in the tone of their voice and the expression of their countenances. He sensed it, he felt it, he saw it. What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? Even now, this day, the Lord's day, as they walked on the road to Emmaus, they had pretty much given up. In verse 21, they said, "But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done." We trusted that this was the Redeemer of Israel, the one that was going to deliver Israel, but now he's dead. And this is the third day, and well, we haven't seen him. He's not alive. And these men are disappointed. They are frustrated. They are misguided. And in truth, they had no real reason to be sad if they could only know it, that Jesus was alive, risen. The tomb was empty. You know, too often we are sad when we don't need to be. We serve a risen Christ, and we need to see that he is the risen Christ. We need to see that he is the Savior that has ascended on high and that he is alive. But yes, these men were sad. They are in sad circumstances. But I want you to notice, secondly, their sweet consolation. And it's really encapsulated in this text where it says, Jesus himself drew near. In their sorrow and sadness of heart, there is one that comes along to join them in the journey at the right moment. The blessed risen Christ, alive from the dead earlier that day. But their eyes were holding that they would not recognize him or know him. It is Jesus himself. I want to mark that. Jesus himself. Not another, not an angel from God, not a cherubim or seraphim, not one of the archangels, not one of the living creatures that we read about in the scriptures that gather around the celestial throne of glory. It wasn't even another disciple that joined them, or some great saint that appeared for a little while like Moses and Elijah did on the Mount of Transfiguration, but Jesus himself, the risen Lord Jesus Christ in his glorified body. Now, no doubt it would have been a great honor and a wonderful experience if an angel had appeared at this moment. They were sent at very special times to the saints of God on important and urgent missions. I wouldn't have time to go into it, but you remember Abraham in Genesis 18, verse 2, angels came to him to tell him about the child that was going to be born to Sarah, and then to go on to speak about the destruction that was going to come to Sodom. In the next chapter, in Genesis chapter 9, the angels come and appear to Lot to warn him about the awful destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain. We think of Gideon in Judges chapter 6 and verse 11. The angel came to tell him about this wonderful child that was going to be born to his wife who was barren, Samson. And that was Manoah in chapter 13, rather, and verse 11. Came to Gideon in chapter 6 and verse 11 to call him into the work. We think of Daniel chapter 6 and verse 22, the angel was sent to shut the lions' mouths. We think of Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, came to alleviate his fears that Mary, his espoused wife, who was with child, there was no reason to be alarmed. This was something that the Lord had done, and this was the Christ of God that was going to be born. Think of Zacharias in Luke 1, verse 11. The angel came to speak about John the Baptist that would be born. We think of Mary, Luke chapter 1, verse 28, who again had an angel appear to her to say about Christ that was going to be born, the shepherds. Luke chapter 2, verse 9. Philip the evangelist, Acts chapter 8 and verse 26, the angel came to direct his way into the desert to speak to the Ethiopian eunuch. Think of Peter in Acts chapter 12, verse 7, where an angel was sent to get him out of prison. Think of Paul in Acts chapter 27, in that time when the ship was going to be wrecked. An angel came to tell him, everyone will be saved, no life will be lost if you stay on the ship. But it wasn't an angel. My friends, it was Jesus himself who came to these men, came right up beside them. As you note the language here, it says he drew near, didn't stay at a distance. He didn't leave them to wallow in their sorrow and despondency. He didn't leave them to sink in their unbelief. No, he drew near to comfort them with his presence, as it always does, to censure them with his rebuke, which he did in verse 25, "Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe," and to communicate his words to them, as we read in verse 17, and we go on to read in verse 26, how Christ ought to have suffered these things and enter his glory, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And it had a mighty effect, because verse 32, they testify to the very heart of these men burning as the Lord Jesus came to speak with them and to communicate these words to them. Their heart burned within them. The Lord obviously had walked a little while with them before he spoke, before he said anything. And he just simply listened to what they were talking about. And then he opened the conversation by asking them, "What are you talking about?" And so I see him journey silently, first of all, with these men, just for a little while listening to them, and then he's got something to say. Then he begins at Moses and the prophets and expounds to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He explained to them that the Messiah was the seed of the woman that was promised in Genesis 3:15. He explained to them the blessing of Abraham to the nations of the world, how that he himself was that blessing that would come. He explained to them how that he was the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, as the Old Testament prophesied. He was the lion of the tribe of Judah. He was the voice from the burning bush. He was the Passover lamb. He was the kinsman redeemer mentioned in Ruth. He was the suffering savior of Psalm 22. He was the good shepherd of Psalm 23. He was the sovereign king of Psalm 24. He was the one that was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities in Isaiah 53. He was the princely Messiah of Daniel, who would establish his kingdom that would never end. And that conversation warmed their hearts, as it still warms our hearts today when we hear about Christ. Can I suggest something to you, brethren and sisters? Jesus drew near when these men were talking about him, for they talked together of all these things which had happened. What things that had happened? Well, it was all to do with Christ. His agony in the garden, his appearance before Caiaphas, his trial at Pilate's judgment seat, the shameful beating and mockery of Christ, crucifixion at Calvary. Perhaps some of the words that he spoke upon the cross they heard and they discussed. These things must have made an impression upon him. "It is finished," the Lord cried upon the cross. And then he said, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." They spoke probably about the entombment of Christ in the sepulchre of Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, who had brought that huge amount of spices to anoint the body. And probably they spoke about the recent rumors. That's all it was to them at this time. Rumors of an empty tomb and the resurrection some people saw. These things undoubtedly were the conversation or the topic of their conversation, and Jesus drew near. My friends, that's what happens when we have spiritual conversation, the one with the other. That's what happens when we talk about the Lord. Not when we're talking about politics. When you come up to an election, politics is a very popular subject. But that's not when, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with talking about politics, but that's not when Jesus draws near. Not when we're talking about football, and people can be very fanatical about the topic of football or some other sport. Not when we're talking about the weather, and we seem to talk about that a lot in these days, the weather is so uncertain. Not when we talk about the price of oil, and the price of oil is going up and everything else is going up with it. No, it's when we talk about him, the Lord Jesus, him whom our souls love, the altogether lovely one, the fairest of 10,000 to our hearts, the rose of Sharon and the bright and the morning star. C.H. Spurgeon said, when two saints are talking together, Jesus is very likely to come and make the third one in the company. Talk of him, and you will soon talk with him. And I thought that's a very heart-searching and thought-provoking statement. You talk about the Lord, and he'll join you. He'll be there. You'll talk with him. What do we know of spiritual conversation? We ought to know much about it if we're truly Christians. Oh, we read our Bibles, and that's good. We pray in private, and that's good. We attend the means of grace, and that's good. But if we stop here, we stop short, and we miss a great privilege. We neglect a great privilege, and we have much to learn. We are to exhort one another, we're told in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Here, have we no time for spiritual conversation? Well, then examine your heart. Ask yourself, am I truly a Christian? We can speak a great deal about everything else, can't we, under the sun. Often we waste a quantity of time on frivolous, trifling, and unprofitable talk, and that's a tragedy. We should take note someday. Someday when you're out with somebody, maybe for a coffee, or you're on your mobile, you should take note of, say, half an hour, how much you've spoken about the Lord, or an hour. Have you spoken at all about him? How much do we speak about Christ and spiritual things? Do we get tongue-tied and lost for words when we speak about the Lord? If so, there must be something tragically wrong with our lives and with our hearts. A heart that is right in the sight of God will find time to speak about eternal realities. It can't be otherwise. If we're journeying to heaven where Christ will be the center, the central object of the believer's view, well, then we're bound to talk about him. Let us learn in our conduct and conversation to speak about the Lord while we're here below. J.C. Ryle said, confidence on spiritual subjects is a most important means of grace. As iron sharpens iron, so does exchange of thoughts with brethren sharpen a believer's soul. It brings down a special blessing on all who would make it a practice. As the striking words of Malachi were meant for the church in every age, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened unto, and the Lord heard it. The Lord hearkened, and the Lord heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Malachi 3, verses 16 and 17. Oh, their sweet consolation. Jesus himself drew near, and he drew near when they were speaking about him. I'm going to just come to the final little thought here their steadfast companion. And notice a little line here, a little phrase, and went with them. Jesus drew near and went with them. It wasn't a brief encounter. He journeyed with them. In fact, he came to abide with them. We go on to read in verses 28 and 29 that they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent," and he went in to tarry with them. Dear child of God, as we come to the end of the service today, I want you to know that this blessed Savior will travel with you. He will abide with you. And you will be brought to that place, I trust, where your heart will burn within you and you'll enjoy the sweet fellowship of the Lord. You'll get to that place where Jacob says, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." Or whenever the desolate bride of the Song of Solomon went out in search of her beloved, whenever she did find him, we're told that she held him and would not let him go. That ought to be our experience when Jesus himself draws near to go with us. We'll want him close. We'll want to hold on to him. And then there was that special moment, of course, in verse 30 of this passage, where they're sitting at the table at meat, at the meal table, and he took bread, he blessed it and broke it and gave to them. Wasn't that long ago they had sat at the table, the 12 disciples had, and he broke the bread. Maybe there were other times when this happened, I don't know, when they dined with Christ and he broke the bread. But as they watched him break the bread, I'm sure they saw the marks and the wounds of the cross. And the scales were lifted, their eyes were opened, and they knew it. It's him. It's the blessed Christ. It's the risen Lord. The message today for you to take home is the message of this text. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. No matter what you're going through, no matter what your sadness is, no matter what your disappointment, no matter what your burden is, whether you're from Northern Ireland or from Ukraine or from some other part, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who's alive forevermore, that he will draw near to you and go with you in the journey of life. May it be so for Jesus' sake. Amen. There is a hymn that is based on this text of Scripture. In our hymn book, it's 455. It's not impressing on the upward way. It is Jesus himself drew near and joined them as they walked, and soon their hearts began to burn as of himself he talked. Draw near. This really is the response of our hearts as we see the story, we listen to the story, we see what happens here 2,000 years ago. We're saying in our hearts, "Draw near, O Lord, draw near, O Lord."
Thank you.
We're still not shaking hands with everyone, just to keep everyone safe. We'll ask our Ukrainian friends maybe to line up there too, and you can just say hello on the way by, but just keep moving. Heavenly Father, we return thanks again for your presence today here at the worship service. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Christ who died for us, rose again victoriously. Help us to rejoice in these things today. And may Jesus himself draw near and go with us. Travel with us where we are going to now, to sit at a table perhaps and have a meal together. May we be very conscious of the Lord sitting there with us. We pray for any who do not know Christ as Savior, who have no interest in his death and resurrection really, that you'll speak to them, open their heart to the truth of the gospel, and bring them to Christ this very day, for Jesus' sake. Amen.